Good morning. Today's Daf and Chagigas Chaf. We are on Yud Tes Amud Beis, and we are here now in the second half of the Masechta. Second half of the Masechta, but it's a little bit confusing because there are three prakim here in the Masechta. So we are in the middle of the second parak. The transition between first and second half of the Masechta occurred in the middle of the second parak. Okay? It's unusual for topics to change mid-parak, but that's what happened. I don't have a great explanation why, but right now it doesn't bother me so much. Anyway, the Gemara shifted over to a discussion of Tumat Tahara, and it happened on Yud Ches Amud Beis. So that's a day and a half ago. So the Mishnah back on Yud Ches Amud Beis brought a Mishnah of Netilas Yadayim, and also Tvilas Yadayim, both washing your hands and also immersing your hands in a mikvah. So when you are going to be engaging in those things that have Kedusha, and you want to now practice various levels of Tahara, Shmiras HaTahara, that exist on what the Gemara describes as malos, meaning they're elevated statuses, meaning you're tahor as it is, but you want to have that elevated status so that you can handle Maaser Sheni and Truma and Kodesh and Mechatas. So under those circumstances, so you have to do is you have to wash your hands with that particular intention. That's what we learned in the Mishnah on Yud Ches Amud Beis, and then yesterday's daf, today's daf, continuing along those discussions. Now, in today's daf, so we're going to be transitioning from the second parak to the third parak. But what I'll do today, I'll tell you on the front end, is I'm going to finish with the parak. When we get to the end of the parak, I'll stop today, and tomorrow we'll start with a new parak. Even though the topic is going to be the same, we're going to be talking more about Tum and Tahara. With that stated, so what did we learn? So we learned over the course of yesterday's daf that if you're going to be operating with elevated levels of Kedusha, so you have to wash your hands specifically for that purpose. And basically, whatever level you were intentional about when you wash your hands, that's the level that you're going to be at. Anything above that level, it's above your pay grade. Anything below that level, that's within your pay grade. Good. That's what we learned yesterday, both in the Mishnah and the Gemara's discussion. To make a long story a little bit shorter, Hatova l'chulin v'huchzak l'chulin. So now we can be found in Yud Tes Amud Beis, and that is that Yutova l'chulin huchzak l'chulin. So now you're going to be able to eat chulin. You wash your hands. You tovel your hands for chulin. So you recall, we asked a question in yesterday's daf, going back really to Yud Ches Amud Beis. Who's washing their hands for chulin? Chulin has no kedusha. That's the very definition of chulin. It's not sacred. It doesn't have kedusha. So who's washing your hands for chulin? So the Gemara asked that question because we learned the Mishnah Bikurim all the way at the beginning of the sugya. The Mishnah Bikurim says that for chulin, even for Maaser Sheni, be honest with you, but for chulin, there's no need to wash your hands. So who's washing your hands for chulin? So the Gemara's response on the bottom of Yud Ches Amud Beis is that you're right. In other words, generally speaking, for chulin, you don't need to wash your hands. But when it comes to Nahama, when it comes to bread, so there is a mala, there is a elevated status in washing your hands. And as we already explained, this is the halacha lemaisa. Most of the Gemaras over here, unfortunately, are not put into practice because we don't have a base of Mikdash, we don't have Maaser Sheni, we don't have Truma. So a lot of this is limud velo lemaisa. But when it comes to the bread, so that's lemaisa, meaning we wash our hands for bread. So we do the Tilas Yadayim. Okay, so that's what we discussed already. So there is going to be a level of washing your hands for bread. So atova lechulen, vehuchzak lechulen, etc., etc. So mani masisin. So now the Gemara asks a simple question, and that is, who's the author of the Mishnah? So Rabbanan hi deshanile ben chulen lemaisa. So it's the shita of the Chachamim that makes a distinction between chulen and maisa. Meaning in terms of levels, going up the levels, so there is a stop for chulin, and there's another stop for Maaser Sheni. And then, of course, after that, there's another stop for Truma, and then Kodesh, et cetera, et cetera. But in other words, but our Mishnah is clearly of the position that there is, in fact, a stop between chulin and Maaser Sheni. Say Masefa. However, we read on in the Mishnah, and the Gemara is just going to remind us that Big Day Amaretz Midras LaPrushin. Big Day Prushin Midras LaOchlei Truma. If, as you go on in the Mishnah was talking about Begadim, the clothing. And as we explained in the Mishnah, so clothing also is going to have this status of clothing are going to be kept at a certain level of Shmira. If you are Prushim, meaning you're just simply careful in general about Tum and Tahara, and you lend your clothing to somebody who wants to eat Truma, no good. Meaning that clothing does not have the status of Tahara for those people going to eat Truma. And then we go up in levels. We go from Truma up to Kodesh, from Kodesh up to Mechatas. However, what is conspicuously absent from the Mishnah when talking about the clothing is Maaser Sheni. Meaning we made the jump from just Purushim, which is just standard, that's Chulin, and we went right up to Truma. So, and the Gemara now makes that observation. So Ema Seifa, Big Day Amaritz, Midras LaPrushim, Big Day Prushim, Midras LaOchlei Truma, Asan LaRav Meir, Damer Chulin Meiser Kahadadi Ninu. And that's the sheet of Rav Meir, that Chulin Meiser Sheni are on the same level. And so what we have in the Mishnah is confusion, because the first half of the Mishnah is giving Meiser Sheni its own level. The second half of the Mishnah is telling us that Meiser Sheni and Chulin are operating on the same level. That's confusing. So Reisha Rabbanan V'Sefer Rav Meir, and the Gemara is basically asking, is that right? Do we read that correctly? And that basically the Mishnah over here is really presenting different viewpoints. So the Gemara says, yeah, you know what? It is confusing. And yes, the Mishnah did shift from a sheet of the Chachamim to the sheet of Rav Meir. And you just have to know. In other words, when you're reading the Mishnah, you have to know the Shitas, and you have to read it into the Mishnah in Reisha Rabbanan V'Sefer Rav Meir. Yeah, that's what bothers the Gemara. That's exactly what bothers the Gemara. The answer, admittedly, it's a difficult answer. But right now, as we have the Mishnah, there's just simply no alternative way to explain the Mishnah. Okay.
It's presenting it as not Mishnah because it's not Mishnah of Meir.
Yep. Okay. Fair. So Rav Acha ba Adam Masni la Besefa. So now Rav Acha ba Masna. So when he learned the Mishnah, so he had a different nusach. In fact, in his nusach in the Mishnah, so when you get to the second half of the Mishnah, when it was discussing the clothing and the medras, so he actually had five levels. Oh, that's much better. But of course, it's much better when you have that nusach, and he had that nusach. So Masni la Besefa Chamish Malos Mukala Kula Karabanan. But now the whole Mishnah could be going like the Chachamim, meaning when the Mishnah goes on to the case of Midrasim, so it goes first to the Prushim, then Meiser Sheni, then Truma, then Kodesh, and then Mechatas. Okay, perfect. So when you have that Nusach, so now the Mishnah is in agreement. The first and second half of the Mishnah have five levels. The first and second half of the Mishnah is going like the Sheet of the Chachamim. Perfect. So what comes out over here is that the way our Mishnah presents itself, there is disagreement between the first and second half of the Mishnah, and disagreement meaning it's reflecting two different viewpoints. However, the Gemara points out that some Amoraim, one that's named by name, it has a different Nusach in the Mishnah, and therefore we have agreement between the first and second half of the Mishnah. Okay. We are on the very bottom of Yud Tesamud Beis and Amar Rav Mari Shmamina. So Rav Mari now is going to make the following observation, but before we make the observation, so just a quick intro. We know that various items have elevated levels of Kedusha, and therefore, in order to be Tahor for that item, so you have to be Shomer specific to that item. Okay, but the items themselves actually have elevated levels of Kedusha. So we go up from Chulin, and we go up to Meiser Sheni. Meiser Sheni. I'm not going to go through all the background, the necessary background, just to understand all these items, but Meiser Sheni has a higher level of Kedusha. The Meiser Sheni can only be in Yerushalayim, and it can be redeemed, but the redemption money has to be spent and consumed in Yerushalayim, etc. From there, we move up to Truma. So, okay, Truma even has more Kedusha. Truma can only be eaten by Kohanim in a state of Tahara. The Truma itself has to be Tahar. Okay. Truma doesn't have to be eaten in Yerushalayim. Truma can be eaten anywhere, but still, that's a higher level of Kedusha. From there, we go up to Kodesh. Kodesh has even a higher level of Kedusha. Okay, you get the point. But right now, our basic point is that all these items actually have elevated levels of Kedusha. Okay. Let's say Pesach is coming. By the way, Pesach is coming. Okay, whatever. Right, it's always coming. So let's say Pesach is coming, and that means that we're all going to go to Yerushalayim, and we're all going to eat Karban Pesach, and we're all now going to be operating where we're going to be eating actual Karban. And right now we're untrained, meaning we're very comfortable right now, having no sensitivity to Tumah Tahara, and so we're untrained consumers of our Chulin. And then when we get to Yerushalayim on Pesach, and all of a sudden everyone's got to shift and make that big change now to eating Karban, okay, admittedly, it's a little bit tough. So what some people practice is what's called Chulin Shenasa Al Taharas HaKodesh, which basically means that we, as individuals, as families, however we agreed, we are now going to be eating our Chulin, but with the presumption that it's Kodesh. And as we're going to be learning, this is a topic that comes up again and again whenever the Gemara discusses sugyas of Tumah Tahara. When I make that kind of declaration, does it require a formal declaration? My guess would be yes. But when I make that declaration, so now my chulin is going to be elevated in status. Now, how elevated in status? So I will offer what I think is the easiest way to say it, and that is that if we're training ourselves to eat Kodesh, so my chulin now will obtain the status of actual Kodesh. Okay. In a minute, it's going to get a little bit confusing, because there is shitas out there, tanaim who are of the opinion, that when I have chulin shenasa tarsa Kodesh, it's going to have the status of truma. I'm going to have a really tough time trying to explain that. You will watch me struggle. Okay? Don't enjoy it too much, but you're going to watch me struggle to try to explain why it has the status of truma. When meanwhile we're educating and we're training to eat Kodesh. But anyway, right now let's say it as simply as we could say it.
It's also Yisrael.
Okay, let's say it as simply as we could say it. Chulin Shanas Al Taras Kodesh is basically it is our attempt to train ourselves and get used to eating carbon. So therefore, we're going to treat our chulin as if it's carbon. And now, in terms of its actual status, it will have the status of carbon. Okay? But we're not talking about on Yontif itself. We're talking about before Yontif. We're just talking about our general attitude right now to our chulin, and we're doing so to prepare. Look at the bottom Rashi over here. I know we haven't read the Gemara yet. Shenaso Taras HaKadosh Adam Aragal Echol Kachim Mikabel Alav Lechol Chulin V'Taras HaKodesh. So the person who is frequently by the Beis HaMikdash and frequently eating carbon, so he just wants to habituate himself. And so what he'll do is he'll eat all his chulin in a state of Kodesh. K'day Shiu B'nei Beisos Zihir Nubikiyim V'Taras HaKodesh. And so that his family now is used to it. That's why I gave the example of, you know, we're going to do it as a family. It sounds that way from Rashi. Regardless, the point is that this is a status. It's an actual status. How exactly does it work? How does it get elevated status? I'll say it simply. That doesn't mean that I'm right, but I'm going to say it simply, and that it's like a neder. Okay? But anytime a person makes a neder, you take something that has no status, and you give it status, and now it has a status of being usser. This isn't exactly isser, but still. An easy way to say it, I don't know if I'm right, is that it operates like a neder, regardless. So this is what's called chulin shenasa al taras hakodesh. Okay, now did you read that in our Mishnah? The answer, of course, is no. Our Mishnah is not talking about where we are treating something like kodesh. Our Mishnah is talking about actual kodesh. Our Mishnah is talking about actual meiser sheni, actual truma, and actual kodesh. So where does chulin shenasa al taras hakodesh stand? From our Mishnah, we don't know. But what the Gemara is going to attempt to do now for the next couple of minutes is it's going to try to read it into the Mishnah. Okay, let's see. Amar of Mari Shmami now. So what do we learn from our Mishnah? Chulin shenasa taras hakodesh kekodesh tamei. So he says that we could see from our Mishnah that if it is chulin shenasa taras hakodesh, it's like kodesh. How do I know that? Mimai, as we are now on the top of Chafam and Aleph. Midalo ketani buhum male. Because did you notice that there was no stop in our Mishnah for chulin shenasa taras hakodesh? So in other words, it's in an existing category in the Mishnah. Well, where is it in the Mishnah? So hi delo ketani buhum mala. I'm sorry. Before we get to the Vidilma. So at this point in time, what the Gemara is assuming is that what you're going to, when you read our Mishnah, and our Mishnah has five levels. So when you get to the level of Kodesh, so you know what's included in that level of Kodesh, both actual Kodesh and chulin shenasa taras hakodesh. That's in that level. And now, assuming we're right, and that's a big assumption, so now we've just learned together that when it's chulin shenasa taras hakodesh, it's on the level of kodesh. Because it's not in the Mishnah, meaning chulin shenasa taras hakodesh is not in the Mishnah, and so therefore it must be in a pre-existing category, and it makes the most sense to assume that it's on the level of kodesh. So the Gemara pushes back. Vidilma. Hai delo ketani b'mala di'i damu l'chuma hatani chuma v'damu l'chulin hatani l'chulin. So the Gemara says, but wait 1 second. That proof is not an outstanding proof. In fact, you could just argue the following. And that is that chulin shenasa taras hakodesh, you know what? Maybe it's in a different category. I don't know. Maybe it's in the category of chulin. Makes sense, meaning it's actually chulin. We're treating it like kodesh, but it's actually chulin. I don't know. Maybe it's in the category of truma. That's a really strange suggestion. But the Gemara is actually suggesting it. Maybe chulin shenasa taras hakodesh belongs in the level of truma, meaning in terms of tumah tahara, it will behave just like truma behaves, meaning being in that level that's under kodesh, but right above meister sheni. Maybe that's the case. And the Gemara says, now, it is, as I mentioned just moments earlier, it's a strange proposal of the Gemara that it belongs in the category of truma. Easily, we can understand how it belongs in the category of chulin, or it belongs in the category of kodesh, but belonging in the category of truma, Admittedly, that's strange, but there's a reason why the Gemara suggested that, and that is because there are Tanaim out there who actually say that. Now, we have the word didnan. It should be changed to detanya. It's a braisa. Chulun shenasa, tarasa kodesh, harein kechulin, Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Tzedek, omer harein ketruma. So you have a machlokas amongst the Tanaim. Where does chulun shenasa, tarasa kodesh belong categorically? One opinion is that it belongs in the category of chulin. Another opinion is that it belongs in the category of truma. Okay, so you see already that you want to deduce from our Mishnah that it belongs in the category of kodesh. You don't have to say that. It can belong in another category. Maybe chulin, maybe even truma. Okay. So elam deseifa. So the Gemara says, okay. So from our Mishnah at that point, there's no proof. However, the Gemara says, but if you read on the Mishnah, you'll see. Yosi ben Yoezer yechasi shebekuhuna v'aisa mitpachto midros kodesh. So first we are going to review the Yosi ben Yoezer. He was a Kohen, not only a Kohen, but a Chassid. And as far as Ishmat is concerned, Midras Lakodesh. So because he was only Shomer up to the level of Truma, so that means that if he lent his clothing to somebody who wanted to eat Kodesh, he has to Tovel it again. Next line of the Mishnah. Yochem and Gudgadayo, Chalataras Lakodesh, Kol Yamav, Vaisa Mitpachto, Midras Lakhatas. Ah. And now, obviously, our focus now is going to be on Yochanan ben Gudgadah. So he was eating al taras hakodesh, meaning, here we go. Here's somebody who wasn't actually eating kodesh, but treated all of his chulin like it's kodesh. In other words, chulin shenasa taras hakodesh. And as far as hishmatas were concerned, so medras lechatas. So hishmatas are going to be a medras for anyone who wants to deal with mechatas. Mechatas, if you recall, that's the highest level. That's level number 5. And so now the diuk is really good. Lechatas in lekodesh lo. Oh. Meaning that it's only going to be medras, it'll only be tameh for the level above. But what's immediately below? Kodesh. So, amaka savra chulun shenasa taras kodesh kodesh damu. Oh, that's a good raya. So the Mishnah really is in fact telling us that when you have chulun shenasa taras kodesh, it's going to have the level of kodesh. Because the Mishnah, when recounting Yochanan ben Gudgadah, so the Mishnah teaches us that his begadim are only going to be medras for mechatas. Anything below that, it's fine. Immediately below Mechatas is Kodesh. Okay. So the proof is in fact a good proof. So Ad Kan, that's the end of the discussion of the Gemara regarding Chulun Shenasa Taras HaKodesh. And the Gemara's conclusion is that at least our Mishnah is of the position that it has the status of Kodesh. Now, we also know after the Sugya is over that there are in fact other opinions amongst Tanaim. Some Tanaim are of the opinion that it's Chulun. Some Tanaim are of the opinion that it has the level of Truma. Okay. But our Mishnah clearly is of the opinion, of the position that's on the level of Kodesh. I'm Rav Yonasan ben Elazar. Nafla me'afra so'ay menu. I'm l'chaver t'na livin asalo t'me'a. You have a cloak, some sort of garment. It falls off. You ask your friend, hey, could you go pick it up for me? He picks it up for you. Thank you very much. The garment now is tame. Okay. And as Rashi points out over here, why? Look at Rashi over here. So me afra so sudar. Next Rashi is what I wanted. So tameya v'afilu zet tahor. And even if the person is tahor, ule kamen mefarish time chazakin adam mishamer mashabiyat chavero. So in other words, you're right now having a shmira. So your shmira is that you are safeguarding and making sure that whatever levels that you've achieved in terms of tahara, you and your clothing is only for those things that are in your hand. However, your shmira does not incorporate things that are in other people's hands. Even if the other person is tahor, but your shmira is not inclusive of things that are in other people's hands. So leficha hu lo shamra biyad chavero. So that means that it did not have the proper shmira. Okay, again, just I want to repeat and review. We are not talking about basic tuma tahara. Basic tuma tahara, if a person's tahor, the item's tahor. It's really simple. We're talking about malos. We're talking about those elevated levels that are required rabbinically for the things that have higher kedusha, elevated levels of tahara for truma, for carbon, for mechatas, right? What happened? I left out my Iser Sheni? Okay, I was confused by earlier this morning. So anyway, but we're talking about the malos. We're talking about elevated levels of tahara, and for those elevated levels of tahara, so for that you need a shmira. In other words, you have to have a mindset. You have to be mindful. And so therefore, once something is going into somebody else's hands, you're no longer mindful on that item. So the item now drops from the levels of malos. That's the way Rashi presents it over here. And again, it will be clear as we go through the Gemara. So again, let's do that line again in the Gemara. Rav Yonasan ben Elazar, Nafle me'afra so'aymenu amel chaver, to not leave an aslo tameya. Okay, now if you can remember, right, there are a lot of positions and a lot of names that are put out there. I'll just drop a memory cue right now. That's Rav Yonasan ben Elazar. Hold that name because we're going to come back to it later on. I'm Rav Yonasan ben Amram. Rav Yonasan ben Amram says nischafalo kelim shel Shabbos bekem shel chol v'lav sham nitmu. Okay, like you're going into your closet, and what you were planning on doing is that you were planning on taking out your weekday clothing, and by accident you took out a Shabbos clothing, and you put on the Shabbos clothing. So now nitmu. So once again, because of this elevated shmir that you need, and it wasn't exactly what you had in mind to take out of your closet, so therefore you have disrupted your shmirah. Well, in halacha, it's described as a hesach hadas, and therefore the item now becomes tummy, the clothing becomes tummy. Amar Rav Lazar Bar Tzadok, here comes one more, and that is Maisa B'Shtei Nashim, Chaver Shenis Chafalem Kleim Beveis Amerchatz, Uva Maisa L'Fnei Rabbi Kiva V'Timon. And you have two women who are in the Beis Amerchatz, and they come out of the Beis Amerchatz, and they're in the locker, and their clothing got exchanged, and one now is wearing the other's clothing, and even though they're both in a state of Tahara, it doesn't matter. For purposes of elevated Shmira from Ma'alos, so therefore, because they are handling other people's clothing, the clothing now is no longer in the state of having elevated levels of Tahara. Okay, so basically we just rattled off three different examples of when something is in somebody else's hands. Or the second case is not exactly the same. The second case is that no, it wasn't even somebody else's item. It wasn't somebody else's hands. It's just that that's not what I wanted to take out of the closet. I wasn't intentional of what I wanted to take out of the closet in any one of the cases. So it's going to be tummy. So maskal Rav Oshia lemiata Oshia dulasav litol paschitim v'alta biyada pasa orin hachinami dinitmeis. So you're telling me that intentionality is so specific that the item that you have to take out is the item that you planned on taking. And if you took out another item, that's it. It loses its elevated status of Tahara. You really need to tell me that. And let's say, for example, that you were planning on taking out wheat and wheat bread. And by accident, you took out barley bread. And that's your only mistake. And that's considered a hesach hadas. Do you really think that? V'chite machanamim. And the Gemara says, I don't know. Maybe that's right. Meaning, maybe if we're absorbing the halachas that we learn, maybe that is an accurate conclusion. The Gemara says, V'atanya. Here now becomes the problem. And that is, Amasham is a chavis, b'cheska sholyam, v'nimsa sholshem, and tarim latame. Okay, but here I have a brisa, and the brisa could not read any clearer. Well, actually, it's going to get a little bit confusing in just a moment, but right now it's clear. And that is, I'm guarding a barrel. I thought there was wine in the barrel. Meanwhile, I was mistaken. It wasn't wine. It was actually oil. So the brisa says, it's okay. It's still tahor. It's tahor. Because I was shomer it. Okay, I was confused about the contents of the barrel, but it doesn't matter. I was shomer it. And therefore, it's tahor. So now, you think about the brisa, think about the halachas that we just learned, and think specifically about the case of the closet and the Shabbos clothing and the weekday clothing. How is it any different? So the Gemara says, okay, your question is good, but did you read the end of the brisa? Let's read the end of the brisa. But meanwhile, the end of the brisa says, oh, by the way, that barrel that you were shomer, but you were confused about its content, you're not allowed to eat the contents of that barrel. Okay. Well, Now, the end of the brisa now is telling us that it's tummy. And again, when I say tummy over here, we're talking about malos, we're talking about elevated statuses, but still, we're learning now in the brisa that it's tummy. Okay, so now the brisa no longer is the question, but a basic understanding of the brisa internally is really difficult because the end of the brisa says that the contents of the barrel is usser, meaning it's tummy. Okay, but meanwhile, that the first part of the brisa, remember, just back up two lines in the Gemara. It says that it's tahor. So now, isn't that brisa really confusing? Yes, it is. Okay, the brisa says that it is tahor milatame, and the brisa then says va'asur milachol. What's going on? So amai. So the Gemara now wants to understand that I'm Rav Yirmiyah ba'omer shmartia medavra mitame v'lo medavra posla. So Rav Yirmiyah says is that what you did is that you took upon yourself Shmira, but limited Shmira. Shmira from those things that'll be Matami, but not Shmira from those things which will apostle it. Okay. Now, as we've discussed already a number of times, when discussing issues of Tumat Tahara, the word mitame means that it's going to become tame with the ability to be mitame others. Posel means it's going to be tame, but that's it. It's the end of the line. It will be unable to be posseling others. If, let's say, for example, we're talking about truma, which let's assume right now we're talking about truma. So what is going to be, what will possel it? A sheni. Because now the truma becomes a shlishi, but it can't be mitame anything else. What will be mitame it? A rishon. So if a rishon comes into contact with it, so now the truma becomes sheni with the ability to go ahead and to be mitame others. Okay. I did accept upon myself a shmira, but I was only shomer from a rishon latuma, but I did not take upon myself to be shomer from a sheni latuma. Okay. You can ask me, I don't know, but you can ask me, what would be the point? In other words, you're only taking on upon yourself a partial shmira. And if it's a rishon, oh no, that's not going to come near her. If it's a sheni, I'm going to relax my shmira. Why would you do it? I'm unsure. I don't know what the motivation would be. I don't fully understand. Okay, I admit. However, a partial shmira, the idea of a partial shmira does exist, meaning it is it is halachically allowed. It's viable. It exists. So the Gemara says, really? Umika Natira Salapalga? Is there such a thing? And the Gemara says, yeah, there is such a thing. Vatanya, let's take a look at another brisa together. Hoshi Yadu Basal Vasal Ktefom. So what you did is you put your hand into a basket, the basket's on your shoulder, Vamagrefa Basokasal. And oh, by the way, there's also a rake, a fork in the it's a kli that's in the barrel, that's in the basket. Vaya Balibala Savalaya Balibala Magrefa. So now you are cognizant. You're being shomer on the basket, but you're not being shomer on the magrefa. So asal tavra magrefa tameya. So as far as the basket is concerned, it's tar because you were shomer on the basket. As far as the magrefa is concerned, so the magrefa is tame because you weren't shomer on the magrefa. Asal tar to tame on magrefa lasal. So the Gemara says now it's just some basic information regarding tumat tahara. The magrefa is tame. Why isn't the magrefa which is in the basket? Why isn't going to be matame the basket? So ain't kli matame kli. Okay, so here we go. Basic rules of tumat tahara. One kli cannot be matame another kli. In other words, transmission of tumat does not occur between one kli and another kli. A kli can only become tummy from an ava tumma. A kli cannot become a tummy from a vlada tumma. The magrefa over here is a vlada tumma. Okay. Ulatame masha basal. So the Gemara says, okay, but at least let the magrefa be matame the contents of the basket. I'm Ravina, but Omer Shmartim Medavra Shematamo, Velo Medavra Poslo. So the Gemara says it's because you had a partial Shmira, you were Shomer on that which will be Metame, meaning something that will be Metame the Kli, or in this case the Magrefa, which in turn will be Metame the contents of the basket. So I was Shomer it from that which is Metame, but I was not Shomer from that which is Poslo, meaning that as far as the Magrefa is concerned, so if something was to contact it, which would not only make it tame, but also be mitame others, that I was careful. But on the lower level of shmira, meaning if something were to make contact with it, which would only be mitame the magrefa, but would not continue to extend to something else, that I wasn't shomer. Okay, anyway, it just comes out over here that it's possible to have this partial shmira. Get? Yeah, okay. Yeah. Okay. So you have that ability, you have that possibility. Anyway, let's go back. Comes out over here as follows. We now have statements regarding Hesach Hadas, right? Our daf started today, not our daf, but our sugya started today with numerous statements of Hesach Hadas, right? Statement number one, Rav Yonah son ben Elazar, my garment fell, somebody else picked it up for me, thank you very much, it's Tamei. Statement number two, I went into the closet thinking that I was going to get a weekday suit and I took out a Shabbos suit. So that also is now going to be a Hesach Hadas. Statement number three, Rav Elazar Brab Tzadok, two women, they were in the locker room, their clothing got exchanged. That also is now going to be a Hesach Hadas as well. So numerous statements regarding Hesach Hadas, and meanwhile, a Brisa right in the middle of the Amud. The Brisa talks about the barrel, where I thought it was wine, turns out that it was oil, so it's Tahara Milatame. Now again, we got a little bit set off course because the end of the Braisa and we learned about partial Shmira, but for our purposes right now, it's important to remember it, but for our purposes right now, let's just focus on the fact that you got confused about the contents, and still, it's not considered Esach Hadas. Why? Why not? Meaning, based on everything we saw in the beginning of the sugya, so we now know that it should be considered Esach Hadas. That's where the Gemara wants to know. Mekama kam kashya. So it's difficult. The Ode Most of Rabba Baravua. And before we answer the question, so let's set up. Let's learn a brisa together, which is going to present another question, which is. So a woman went to Rabbi Shmuel and she said, "Look, I was weaving this garment and I did so in a state of tahara. But meanwhile, even though I was tahara, but I wasn't shomer. Meaning, I did not put myself in the mindset of that I'm going to be shomer and be careful about tuma tahara." And then, with just a couple of Q&A with Rabbi Yishmael, some follow-up questions, it turns out that she herself was Tahara, as she herself declared, but it happens to be that one of the workers that were working with her, so she was a Nida. And I'm Rabbi Yishmael, Kama Gedolim, Divrei Chacham, Shayom, and Beli, Bola Shomra, Tahara, and Beli, Bola Shomra, Tamei. And so now Rabbi Yishmael says the Chachamim knew what they were doing. Meaning, in order for something to have a status of tahara, the person who is working with that item has to take upon themselves this extra levels of shmira. Otherwise, if you're just doing things without intentional and purposeful guarding, so then you're gonna. In other words, even though you yourself are tahor, but who knows? And in this particular case, a woman working with her happens to have been anida. That's number one. Shuv ma'isa b'isha'acha shabal lefnei Rabbi Shmuel amr lo Rabbi ma'pazu arakdiya b'tara v'loya b'liba l'shamra. So again, woman said that she wove a garment and she fully admits. In other words, I'm tahor, but I had no intention. In other words, I did not take upon myself to be shomer. Umi talk b'diko shayi Rabbi Shmuel botka amr lo Rabbi nima nifsikali v'kashrasiya b'peh. But then she admits that she still had a. A string, in her mouth. I'm Rabbi Shmuel, Kama Gedolim, Divrei Chacham, Shayom, and Beli Bala Shamra Tahor, and Beli Bala Shamra Tameh. And once again, Rabbi Shmuel just marveled the Chacham and knew what they were doing. Meaning he's one of the Chachamim, but they knew what they were doing. Meaning if a person takes upon himself Shmir, great, and if not, so then you just simply can't trust. Now, what exactly happened over here in the second case? In the first case, it's very clear, and one of her workers was Anida. Okay, which came out in discovery after just a little bit of due diligence. But over here, in the second case, it's really unclear exactly what happened. See Rashi for more details. I'm not going to go through it right now. See Rashi for more details in terms of what exactly happened with the second woman and what exactly was in fact discovered through due diligence. Anyway, but the point is that you need Shmira. Now, what comes out over here in this Braisa is that without the proper Shmira, without the requisite shmira, so it's just simply it's simply not going to be in a state of tahara. Now, bishlam the Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Tzadok Kolachas Vachas Omeres Chaver Tiyeshes Amaretz Umaska Daita Minei. So the Gemara says, okay. So now let's line up the beginning of the sugya Amor by Amor. This is where I told you you're going to need to remember everyone's name. So we go back to Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Tzadok. So Rabbi Lazar brought Tzadok, so he was the case of the women in the locker room, which exchanged clothing with one another. And his psak, which was very clear, the clothing is tamei. So the Gemara says, I get that one, I get. And it's very simple. Because why over there is there Hesach Hadas? There's Hesach Hadas because, oh, I took my friend's clothing. She's Eshet Amaretz. Her husband's an Amaretz. And so therefore, there is simply no way that I have any kind of idea of what care she takes regarding our clothing and tuma tahara. Okay, so that's easy to understand why that qualifies as a hesach hadas. And the Rav Yonah ben Amram Nami came into Kalin Shabbos Avilu Shimer Tvei Masach Daita Minayu. And in the case where you go into your closet and you were planning on taking weekday clothing and you took Shabbos clothing by accident, so there that's also a hesach hadas because typically people are more careful regarding tuma tahara by Shabbos clothing than they are by weekday clothing. It's a really interesting comment of the Gemara over here. I don't fully understand why, meaning obviously, you know, the Gemara accepts it as a premise that your Shabbos clothing has a higher level of tahara. In other words, Shabbos has more. Let's just leave it as it is. Gemara says it. Let's accept it. The okay. So anyway, so fine. So taking a Shabbos clothing when you plan on taking weekly clothing, that's also Hetzach Hadas. But Ella Rav Yonatan ben Elazar. So the for Rav Yonatan ben Elazar. So what happened over there? What happened over there is that his garment fell off. He asks his friend to pick it up for him, and meanwhile, that's considered Hesach Hadas. But Ella Rav Yonatan ben Elazar Navlu Shimar Biyadei Dechavrei. So why can't he maintain Shmira? Meaning, so over there, and look, in that case over there, he's looking at his friend, he's telling his friend to pick it up for him, so why isn't that a successful Shmira? So Amrav Yochanan Chazak and Adam Hashem Masha Biyad Chavero. So this is what Rashi taught us all the way at the beginning of the Sugya, but this is where the Gemara actually articulates it, quote-unquote realizes it, meaning this is the punchline. And that is that here we have a general presumption that a person is not shomer that which is in his friend's hands. Even though, right, it's a chiddush, even though you're looking at him, you're asking him to pick it up for you, but still, once it's in somebody else's hands, the chazak is that your shmira does not include that which is in somebody else's hands. Good. So, velo. So now with all that stated, so over the course of most of today's daf, meaning the majority of Amud Aleph of today, Chaf Amud Aleph, we have been discussing what qualifies as Hesach Hadas. And effectively, once something goes into somebody else's hands, that is going to be a Hesach Hadas. Another chiddush in terms of what qualifies Hesach Hadas is even if I wasn't careful about if I wasn't clear about what is inside, what's inside my closet, what's inside the barrel. So under those circumstances, that too qualifies also as a Hesach Hadas. But right now we're focusing on Yad Chavero. When I have an item of mine that's in somebody else's hands, so that is in fact going to be a Hesach Hadas. V'lov v'atayu, the Gemara, as we turn now to the Amud Beis of today's daf, Gemara says, are you so sure about that? Let's learn together a Braisa. It's a Tosefta. Hareshayu chamara v'pol of tunim taros. So, let's say you have workers, and they're carrying. So, you're right, you have donkey drivers, you have workers, and anyway, but you have a whole bunch of taros that you're transporting. So afa pishihivlik mehem yosem imil tarosav taros. So even though you and your workers are not on the same convoy, in fact they're ahead of you. They're ahead of you by a full mil. It doesn't matter. In other words, everything that you have, everything that you're shipping right now is tahor. V'im amar lehem lechuv ani avo acharechem kevish nisamo enav mehem tarosav tameos. However, if you basically say we're not traveling together, meaning from the very beginning you say to them, hey, go ahead. Right, I'm coming as well, but you go ahead of me. So once you say that, so then all the taros that are in shipment are going to be tummy. Now, the Braisa clearly is talking about where your kelim are in somebody else's hands. Now there are two parts of the Braisa. In the first part, so everything remains tar. In the second part, everything becomes tummy. Now we're going to have to try to figure out what the difference is between the first and second part. But meanwhile, it's really clear in the first half of the Braisa, in this Tosefta, that despite the fact that you're kelim in somebody else's hands, so they remain tahor. That goes against what we conclude on the Amud Aleph. Our conclusion from the Amud Aleph is that chazaka, we have a presumption. Eina d'mashamer mashbiyad chavero. And meanwhile, over here, at least the first half of the Braisa is going against that. The Gemara will respond to that. But meanwhile, but first the Gemara wants to do is, it wants to answer up the first and second half of the Braisa. So Maishna Resha Maishna Seif Am Rav Yitzchak Nafcha Resha Bemetar Chamar of Polam Lekach. So in the Resha, here's what happened, and that is that you tell your workers, hey, we're handling taros. Everyone go to the mikvah, okay, and repeat after me, right? Whatever you're shipping. If you're shipping truma, we're all going to be metar ourselves. L'shem truma, okay. L'shem truma. Everyone say it. Okay, good. So that's what happened in the Resha. So the Gemara says Yachi Seif Anami. So. So the Gemara says, okay, but we have to assume that it's the same ukimta in the Resha and in the Seifa. So if that's the case in the Resha, so why don't we say the same thing regarding the Seifa? We have to say the same thing regarding the Seifa. So the Gemara says, Maishna Resha, Maishna Seifa, Amar Yitzchak Nafcha, Resha B'metar Chamar, V'Polalav L'Kach. So the Gemara says, now, the Resha is talking about where your Metahir, Chamarav U'Polalav L'Kach. Did I just read that? Yes, I did. I'm sorry. So Yahachi Seifa Nami. So I'm sorry. Ein amar it's makbid amaga chavera. So the Gemara says, well, you know, the workers are Amaratzim, and they're not careful about Maga Chavera. So Yahachi Reisha Nami. So the Gemara says, so why don't we say the same thing regarding the Reisha as well? So Bevol Lehem Derech HaKaton. So in the Reisha, here's what's happening. And this is Rashi's explanation. And that is that in the Reisha, you're traveling together. So you're right. The workers are on the status of an Amaratz. They're not careful about Tamatara. That's true. But you were mitara them, meaning everyone went to the mikvah. You instructed them to say l'shem truma. Everyone said l'shem truma, and we're walking together. Now they, for a moment, may be out of view, but all your kelim are going to still be in a state of tara. Why? Because since you're walking together, and as far as they know, so you're with them. They may be ahead. They may be even out of eyesight, but you can appear at any time, right? The Gemara doesn't use this terminology over here, but it's very similar to yotze v'nichnas. Because you can appear at any given point in time, and their thought process is, their mindset is that you're with them, so therefore they're going to be careful. So Yahachi Sefer Nami came and Damer Lehu Lechu Vani Avo Acharechem Mismach Samche Daitayo. In the second half of the Mishnah, where you say, you guys start ahead without me. Once you say that to them, even though you could appear at any point in time, but you say that to them, that gives them the confidence to say to themselves, we're good. In other words, right, the boss is not really with us, right? He's behind us, and they're just simply not going to have any kind of shmira. And you gave them a certain level of confidence and independence in which they're not going to be careful about being shomer to matahara. Okay, that's the difference between the reisha and the seifa. Anyway, what comes out over here is that from this, so in other words, our chazaka is right. The chazaka is that when you hand something over to somebody else, so it no longer lacks the shmira. Under the circumstances where it's your workers, you're walking together, you tovel them for the purposes, and you say to them, we're all walking together, so then they're under your auspices and they're under your protection, right? Your protection meaning you're not guarding them, you're guarding that which they're carrying, but under those circumstances, so yes, there the items will remain tahor, but only under those circumstances. Once they're on their own, so then we go back to the chazaka of Ein Adam Meshamer Mashbiyat Chavera. And therefore the item is no longer in a state of Tara, Hajon Lach, Ein Dorshin. And that is the end of the second parak. Here's where we're going to end today. Tomorrow we will pick it up with a new parak. Let's quickly recap. First discussion of today is that is there a difference between Chula Maiser Sheni? Is there no difference? The Mishnah gives us conflicting viewpoints on that. And as the Gemara concluded, the Mishnah is just simply expressing different Tanaitic views on this particular matter. Topic number two of today's daf: Chulin Shenasa Atarsa Kodesh. So we've taken upon ourselves as a family that all our chulin are going to be eaten on the level of Kodesh. What level does it have? So the easiest answer is Kodesh. That happens to be our Mishnah's position. We were medayik in our Mishnah. We thought to be medayik first in the center part of our Mishnah. We end up being medayik from the end of the Mishnah, but our Mishnah does say that. There are other Tanaim who say that Chulin Shenasa Taharas HaKodesh has a level of Chulin. There is a Tana that says it has a level of Truma. Anyway, our Mishnah is of the position that has a level of Kodesh. And finally, the remaining portion of today's daf all dealt with Hesach Hadas. We've taken upon ourselves Shmira to make sure that the items, we and our items, are going to have a certain level of Tahara. You have to be Shomer. You have to be purposeful and intentional every time you handle it. In order to have that shmira, once there's Hesach Hadas, so then the shmira is lost, and the item no longer has that elevated status of Tahara. What represents Hesach Hadas? That's most of the Amud Aleph, and the conclusion and the end of the parak. With a basic rule that we learned also, of Chazak, that once it goes into somebody else's hands, so the presumption is that once in someone else's hands, with a limited exception, but when once something goes in somebody else's hands, so at that point in time, it no longer obtains its status of being considered nishmar.